Heavenly Father, again, Lord, our hearts are just moving within us tonight, just thinking of, Lord, all the things that you have done for each one of us. And thinking of, Lord, how it is that you've gone and you've prepared a place, Lord, for each one of us. And, Lord, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered in the hearts of man. Those things, Lord, that you are, that you've made, that you've made ready, Father. And yet, Lord, the Spirit has revealed unto us things. And we know, Lord, that the more that we surrender and seek you, Lord, the more you reveal things, Lord, to us. And we're so thankful, oh God, so thankful that you're mindful of us, so thankful that you made a provision. The provision is through Jesus Christ. And so thankful, Lord, that you've made a provision for each one of us, oh God, that whatever the future holds, Father, there is a provision for us. And we are so thankful, oh God, to that. And so, Lord, even tonight, Father, you have a provision for us. We say, assuredly, our eyes are on thee. Help us, oh God, help each one move me out of the way, Father, and just anoint the ears, Lord, to hear your words, not mine, and quicken it to us now. We commit this whole service in your hands. This we do, we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. While you're standing, thank you, musicians. I appreciate your ministry to us. It's a great, great blessing. Elisha, wonderful job. Appreciate that.
Amen.
Just appreciate each one of us, you all out there, just creating that atmosphere. An atmosphere is a wonderful thing. We need atmosphere. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight. 2 Corinthians, if you would, let's turn to 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. You all find that spot. Just want to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really good to see you all here. I'm tremendously blessed to be associated with you all. I mean that with a surety. And especially blessed to have Brother Don and Sister Mary here tonight. You all have been through a lot, and the Lord has brought you through. Amen. And so many good testimonies of God's grace going before us. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We're going to read through the fifth verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We just pray, Lord, you just break to us the bread of life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. And again, to repeat, it's a real privilege to be standing before you. I certainly don't take this at all lightly. It's a very solemn thing to be up here, and believe it with. And I'm sure you can agree with me when I say I'm the least of all, especially behind this desk. I'm absolutely the least. But you know something? He's the great one. Amen. And that's what I desire in my heart, is the great one be exalted. Amen. And you get to realize that if you think that you have any part in this whatsoever, you're going to find you're going to come short. The only part that we have is taking him at his word, right? And then full surrender to that word. You know, believing, receiving, and acting on the word of God. Amen. We're all called to that. And I believe in this hour that the Lord, by His grace, has given us to where we should have no room for doubt whatsoever. We've been proven again and again that He stands behind His Word. Amen? Amen. And He's given us an avenue, and that avenue is through Jesus Christ. We don't have to look at ourselves anymore. The sin question has been answered. Amen? The perfection is found in the sacrifice, and that is Jesus Christ. And so when we come that way, when we come through Christ, then every promise then in the Bible is available to us if we can appropriate it by faith. And I believe the Lord wants to do that for us. He wants to give us the faith, keeping in mind that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So that's it. You know, what is our attention drawn to? And are we going to diligently seek Him? Amen? And I know that, you know, I think that's our greatest challenge in this day and age, is keeping our eyes on Him. Amen? And, you know, Brother Branham talks about the invisible union of the heavenly bridegroom and earthly bride. And that invisible union is going on right now. Okay? So there is a happening that has taken place. And it is, think about it, you are fulfilling prophecy. You are fulfilling what God had in His mind before the foundation of the world, that there would be a people that would take Him at His word, gladly take Him at His word, and fulfill their part. To be all of that was in Christ, He poured into the church, okay? And so we are fulfilling that portion of it. Amen. So, my thought that I want to speak on tonight, and again, I doubt I could say anything up here at all that you haven't heard before. Certainly not by me, okay? But that's okay, because we need to bring into remembrance those things that we have heard. And again, we exercise ourselves again and again and again until we get it down. Any coach, right, Brother Peter? In order you have it down, you practice and you practice and you practice. If you got to think about it first before you do it, when it comes to time of need, you're not going to use it. You only use what you exercise yourself with. Okay? Amen. So what I want to speak on tonight is the greatest battle that takes place in the mind. And I want to come at it in different ways. So if the Lord will help us. And we know this, and again, this is something very basic. You all know that the devil chose this up here, the mind, right, as the battleground. Okay, so this is where the devil meets us every day, is right up here. Amen. First time you get out of bed, what are you going to do, right? Right then you choose, am I going to do that? Am I going to spend time in God's Word? Or am I going to do something else? Okay. The morning is very crucial. You should give that to the Lord. When you go to bed, you should give that to the Lord. Your waking thoughts should be the Lord first and placing His Word. And when you go to bed, the last thing should be is placing His Word. Then anything in between that, as the Lord directs you. And what I don't mean just optional. We want to fulfill the Word of God in our lives. We want to be led by Him. We want to be led by His Spirit. Amen? And so we want to give everything to the Lord. So Satan tries to attack us. And he attacks us in his usual ways, right? The threes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, 1 John 2:16. Brother Branham said that the downfall of every preacher is what? Money, women, and popularity. Okay? Those three, right? And I remember years ago, this is back in the 80s, there was a downfall of a well-known televangelist. Him and his wife, they were on the front cover. And he had been caught in some sexual misconduct. Okay? And I remember him sitting there with his wife standing behind him, and she had her hands on his shoulders. You probably remember that magazine that I'm talking about. And, you know, Brother Branham had a, some of you were probably not born then, so excuse me. Got to keep in mind who I'm speaking to here. But, you know, and Brother Branham talked about a haint. You know, that was his wife, if you've ever seen it. And I could tell their name right here, but I don't want to. It's not that I want to point any individual out. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm talking about somebody who's given them over to the wrong spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. She had heavy makeup on. She had false eyelashes. She had heavy mascara, makeup all over, very long painted fingernails. Brother Branham talked about, you know, instead of being a saint, she was a haint. And if ever I saw a haint, you know, it was there. And to be honest with you, I felt very sorry for her. I felt the horror of that little girl inside, that she had lent herself over to the wrong spirit and let the devil deform her into the image that God did not have for her. And that is just a terrible thing. But on that magazine were three words. Get it right here. Yeah. Greed, sex, power. Those three words. Maybe not necessarily in that order, but those are the three words that were on that magazine. Now, if you take money, women, and popularity and drive it to its extremes, that's exactly what you have. Greed, sex, and power. Okay? And so, Brother Branham said that any one of these things could be a downfall of a minister, and here he was caught in all three. So, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him thinketh if he standeth, take heed lest he fall." So we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't think that we ourselves excuse me, I got distracted by my family back there. If anyone thinks, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, okay? The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Okay? Satan does the same thing over and over again. Man is frail. He falls to the same tricks over and over again. And the one thing that, now this is really interesting. I love history, okay? And you learn by looking back at history. And some have even said it's not hard at all to predict what's going to happen next simply by seeing the regular pattern, the rise and fall of civilizations and of intrigue and how prosperity happens and how that men err in their decisions and they get soft and weak and they fall over to all manner of fleshly lusts and they give over to it. And again, they fall, they crumble. And nations, they fall and they rise. They rise and they fall. And one of the things, this is interesting, whenever Satan gets the hold, some evil regime comes up, takes over a place, takes over an area, takes over a civilization, the first thing that they do, they go after the antiquities and they destroy it. I stood at horror when I was even reading about World War II in Rome. They had this large, huge building, and it was filled with antiquities, old manuscripts, right there in Rome. And the Allies were coming in, and Germans knew that they had to get out of there. And the first thing they did is they went in there, they're carrying the big cans of diesel. The SS troopers carry the big cans of diesel, and they're throwing it all on these rooms. And they lit a match to the whole building. And they kept the fire department away for days, and they let the whole thing just burn down to the ground. Isn't that incredible? But see, that's the devil. Cover up the history. Don't let anybody know about it, right? Because he's going to do the same thing again. So, the other thing that the devil tries to do is he tries to make us fearful, right? Fear of loss of health, loss of safety, fear of loss, whatever that is, of a relationship, a personal, a financial loss, loss of a reputation, loss of faith, loss of salvation, okay? And right around, there's a lot of things that we're hearing about that if you let it, you can, there's a lot of things that can be fearful. Inflation, high prices, disease, tyranny, everywhere you look. But we know the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And that's the thing we got to keep in mind, that when you hear something, God did not give us the spirit of fear. It doesn't matter what is we're confronted with. The Lord has provided a way. Amen? He always does. And even Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill the body, right, but can't touch the soul, but fear him who can not only kill the body, but throw the soul in hell. He doesn't want us to be fearful. He wants us to stand with boldness, with faith in him who holds our very lives in his hands. Amen? Amen. The other thing the devil does is accuser of you. Absolutely. Yep. Tells us how inadequate we are, how we're no good, how we don't measure up. He brings up our past failures, our past humiliations, right? Somebody once said, whenever the devil reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future, right? That was good. But we have to keep in mind in Colossians 3:3, it says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, where is your identity? You don't look at yourself anymore. Again, our identity is with Jesus Christ. You totally identify with him and you surrender to him. Amen? So then you're not even part of the picture at all. But you just say, Lord, what do you want done? Amen. He's already answered the sin question. The other thing that the devil likes to do is he likes to be accuser of somebody else. Now keep in mind where this takes place. In your mind. He likes to accuse somebody else in your mind, right? Whether it be a loved one, a spouse, your brethren, your neighbor, your boss, a subordinate, or even the Lord. Yeah, sure, he'd love to put a wedge between you and the Lord if he could. We are not ignorant of his devices, okay? And we're told to fight. A good fight, we're told to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So whenever this happens, stop it. Don't go any further. Know exactly whose side you're on when you do something like that. Okay? I'm going to talk about that a little more here. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Look at that instead. We're called to be kings and priests. We're called to be in a priesthood. Okay? Have you ever thought about your responsibility as priests before the Lord? You've been positioned. Amen? He puts you in a privileged and sacred, even solemn position as a priest before the Lord. How you can hold that person before the Lord requesting God's saving grace be given to him, that the Lord deal with their heart, that he may find grace to receive mercy of the Lord and repent, that he can walk in victory in Christ. Yeah, you don't hold anything against him. Don't let anything get between you and God. Don't have anything in your heart towards anybody. Just get rid of it, totally. Get rid of it. Amen. You're called as priests, where you can pray a hedge of protection around a loved one, maybe a wayward child, and you pray for them. Amen? And you never let a discouraging thought take a hold, but rather you offer up a prayer, a plea unto the Lord. Give your prayer wings to the throne of grace. Amen. The other thing the devil does, and again, I just want to really bear on this one particular thought. He holds court in our mind, an accusation of somebody else. I'm coming right back to that thought. Somebody says something bad about you. Best thing you can do is just let it go. Yeah. It's like the devil. When he comes and starts saying bad things about you and says, yeah, devil, you've got nothing left. I can add to that list. That's no challenge at all here, but meet the one who's taken my place. Now, let's hear you now talk, right? Amen. For I am dead and my life is hid in Christ. You're talking about old news, right? Amen. Amen. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive, for your Father has forgiven you, you can forgive others. That's Matthew 11:25. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And when you find it easy to find fault in others, be careful. Because what you're looking at is you're looking at a child of God. Before his master he standeth, before his master he falleth. You don't know what they're going through or what they have to deal with, what they have to struggle with. Maybe you're particularly strong in an area, and as Paul says, what do you have that wasn't given to you by God? So we don't stand in any place to be boastful or proud. The Bible says to even lift up those that are weak amongst you, not through any advantage or some benefit on our part, right? But so fulfill ye the law of Christ. Amen. We don't know what other people are going through. It'd be like a cripple walking, and they can't keep up. They can't keep up because they are crippled. But God has given them something else. They might have a strong strength in another area that you can't even touch. We're all called many-membered body in all of our flaws and warts and everything else, but to fit together because God has also gifted us. He's gifted us in different areas whereby we can lift and edify the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing that Brother Branham was calling them Ricky and Rickettas, and God corrected him. He says, some of those are my children. Amen. We don't see the end. God does. Amen. Brother Branham made this one statement. Said, we can't condemn the rankest sinner in the presence of God. In the presence of God, we are all very close. Compared to God, we're pretty much equal. Right? Amen. It's been said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Not one of us is above the other. We all stand in need of His mercy. We were all sinners at one time. We're bought with a price. We didn't save ourselves. By God's grace, we're able to respond to His call. Thank the Lord for that ability to respond. Thank the Lord for that ability that you can come to the Lord and just say, Lord, spur me on. I want everything that you have for me. Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want anything to hinder my appointed place in Thee. I want to fulfill my role in You, Lord. And every gift that I have, I might only be a nickel. You know something? I don't believe I am. Brother Branham said, what's a penny? A person that can just go to church, and that's all he is. He's just a churchgoer. Well, I'm certainly, I think I'm better than that, right? But whatever I am, whatever change we are in God's pocket, I want to be that full whatever that is. Whatever that is. I can't be any more than that because He didn't make me any more than that. But I want to be at least that much, right? Amen. Amen. The other thing, how the devil works. Now, Brother Branham said, if you kill motherhood, you destroy the nation. Right? So, the family unit is so pivotal with the strength of any society. And a church, the strength of the family is very also pivotal. You need a fellowship with strong families. And with strong families, it means they love each other, but they have arms extended and they include, right? And we're all family of God. We're all members of that big, wonderful family of God. We love one another, right? Okay? Don't think that it isn't the devil to try and to get a wedge in there some way and to break up that peace, break up that unity. He's going to try and get some kind of seated discrepancy inserted in there to twist away and try to get a crack in there and to work at that crack, whatever that is. See, we're talking about the devil. We're talking about somebody who's got, you know, millennia of experience in working with men and getting them to choose the wrong thing. So what does he try to do? All kinds of things. If he can get an attitude between you and your spouse, oh my, he loves doing that. Absolutely loves doing that. If the devil, men, if the devil puts something in your mind concerning your wife, don't receive it. Just kick it out. Rebuke it. Cast it away. Same thing, wife to husband. Instead of accusing, you be an advocate for your spouse. Amen? You pray for your spouse that the Lord may work in both your lives. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You should honor her. She's your sweetheart, your helpmate. Put that 10 on her forehead. You know this story. And she'll be a 10. Consider her a 10-cow wife. You know the story, right? And she'll be a 10-cow. Did everybody hear this story? Don't know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. For those who've not heard the story, in a certain part of the world, part of the dowry is the man gives to the father for the hand of his daughter, the worth of his daughter, whatever she'd be considered. The maximum they'd ever give for a daughter would be 10 cows. Maybe it might not even be a cow. Maybe it'd be a goat, you know. But whatever their worth is, you know, that's what they would give. 2 cows, 3 cows. So, but if she's really something, you'd give 10 cows, right? And so there was this one daughter, and she was actually not the first one married, although she was the oldest daughter. But this one man really loved her, really thought she was something. And she didn't really think she was something at all. But the father thought, well, maybe I can get 2, 3, maybe 4 cows for her, he was hoping. And when the day came where he was going to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, and they were discussing the dowry, he says, I will give you 10 cows for her. 10 cows, wow. Of course, they agreed, and she got married. They went on the honeymoon, and they came back, and they couldn't believe what a radiant gal that was sitting next to this guy here, the groom, in the carriage. I says, wow, I had no idea she was that way. She was absolutely radiant. She was beautiful. Why was that? It was because her husband esteemed her that way, esteemed her as the best. And guess what her husband got? He got the best. He esteemed her the best, and he got the best. Amen. So that's it. Amen. So esteem your wife, the queen that she is. She's a daughter of the Most High God. Think about that. Consider yourself to be extremely privileged to have the wife that you do. I know I do. Amen. By God's grace, he's blessed. Amen. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Should always show honor, respect to your wife, to your bride. She's your bride. Amen. I want to drop something else here. Wives, do you have a good man? How would you like to have a better man? If you got a good man, would you like a better man? Let me drop a little clue here. Start praising him. You might think that that's very simple, but no, think about it. The Lord wants us to praise the Lord. He wants us to praise him, right? Doesn't he? And in praising him, guess what? It does us good. It changes the atmosphere, doesn't it? It just brings his presence close. And now think of it, your man is made in the image of God. So don't fault him if he responds to praise. You know what the Bible says? Proverbs 27:21, as a refining pot for silver and the furnace of gold, so is a man to his praise. What is that? What does fire do to silver? It makes it finer, makes it better. What does it do to gold? It makes it better, it makes it more pure. What is it going to do to your man to praise him? And I'm not saying flatter him. You know, those qualities that you see are really godly. You know, maybe he's diligent, maybe he's handy, maybe he's faithful, maybe he's timely, comes home like he says. He doesn't squander the finances. He leads the family in devotions. There's different things that you can do that you can actually find that would just lift up your man. I'm serious as I can be. And we say amen from the brothers. Amen. Okay. And that's the truth. A little story here. U.S. Grant. U.S. Grant. Ulysses S. Grant, which he says, I never did find out what the S stood for. It's a long story. But in truth, in the civilian world, he couldn't do anything right. As hard as he tried, couldn't be a businessman, he couldn't sell, he's a terrible clerk, He wasn't cut to be a civilian. He was an incredible, remarkable soldier. Absolutely gifted. He could ride a horse like he was glued to the back of a horse. When the bullets were flying, they said he just moved in another dimension almost. He was unfazed, not at all fearful when the bullets were flying heaviest. He was unflappable. And his mind would just take off, and he would quickly adjust his statistics to the field of warfare as it was shaping and developing, and he would change his tactics accordingly. He was genius at it. When his men would come running at him, being routed by the enemy, and him coming from a boat, you know, to the shoreline, he would just stop them right where they were. He would gather, rally them, and send them in the other direction and rout the enemy. You know, he was gifted to be a soldier. And what was interesting to note, even though he was a failure in the civilian life, his wife adored him. His wife just thought the world of him and believed one day he would be president of the United States. Can you imagine that? Even before he was, you know, in any rank, you know, in the army, any significant rank. He was in the army, but anyway. So, what the children think of their father, they take their cues from their mother. Yeah. So if the mother has a high regard and respect for the father, it'll follow that the children also will. Right? Proverbs 17:6b says that the glory of children are their fathers. And what the children think of their mother, they take from the cues of their father. Yeah. If their father treats her as a queen, a father listens, you know, regards the things that she says, holds her up in esteem, honors her. And it'll follow, too, that the children also will honor their mother. Amen? Proverbs 31:28 says, the children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Don't ever forget, sisters, where you get your beauty from when you fear the Lord. Don't forget where you get your grace from. You fear the Lord. Don't forget where you get the comeliness from. Fear the Lord. Amen. Amen. And disrespect should never be an exchange between husband and wife, and certainly not before their children. And children, truly, they find their comfort and security in the love that their parents have one for another. Yeah, that's true. Not to say, you know, that you might have disagreements and so forth. There's just a way to handle that. You do that out of the shot of children, and you always do it with respect, right? Respecting the other person. You can say whatever you need to say, but just do it with respect. Amen. And children should be allowed to say anything that they can say to their parents if it's done with respect. The Bible says, children, honor your father and mother, for it is the first promise. Amen. The first commandment with a promise. Right. Amen. Here's another little cue. Husbands, wives, if one or the other says something, and it can be taken two ways, either good or negative, choose the good. Right? Try that. Choose the good. And if you can't think of it, see the good right away. Wait a little bit. Our minds sometimes tend to go negative so quick, so soon, and we're so quick to judge. And a lot of times it isn't at all what they had intended. Okay? So, amen. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. The brethren. Do not stand as accuser against your brothers or sisters. The definition of the devil is he's a what? A liar. He's also an accuser of the brethren, right? So don't ever lend yourself to the lies of the devil. Don't enter in. If some thought comes in that's negative, like accusation to your brother, to your sister, just kick it out, right? We've talked about that already. And if you think, for instance, this fellowship here lacks love, I don't believe that, but or this fellowship or any fellowship that somebody would be part of, do you have love? Well, if you have love and you sit in the fellowship, then the fellowship doesn't lack love, does it? Let it begin right here. Let it begin with us. Amen? Let us start the fire. Let us start the contagion. Lord, let it begin with me. Amen? 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and seek good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." See, we need to make that a practice of us. We don't want to speak accusations of anyone, of our brother or sister. 1 Peter 3:11 says, "Let him eschew evil and do good." So scatter evil. "Let him seek peace and ensue it, pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." See, it's an abomination for the Lord, for brethren, to cause discord amongst brethren. It's not pleasing to the Lord whatsoever. One of the last things, I think I've harped on this, I don't know how many times, I don't mean to harp, but just to remind, one of the last commandments Jesus gave us is to love one another fervently. Amen? So again, we're talking about fighting the good fight of faith. All these things that take place right here in the mind, that we can enter into the fray. You know, and one of the things that we're trying to achieve, wherever we're at, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're in the car riding with somebody, or even alone by ourselves, is we want to create an atmosphere. Brother Branham said that we are creators, right? Because we create an atmosphere around us, whether we realize it or not. The attitude and the spirit and everything whereby we approach it determines the kind of atmosphere that we create, right? Amen. I read a quote here, but I pretty much said it. And of course, we know that the right mental attitude towards any promise, God's divine promise, will bring any promise to pass. We've quoted that many times. Brother Branham has said that many times. He says, now you've got to create an atmosphere and your faith will do it. So atmosphere is very part of it. You have to create an atmosphere and your faith will do it. They were all in the upper room with one accord. See, that was a requirement. They were one accord. And when suddenly there came from heaven as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, the atmosphere was right. See, it takes an atmosphere to do anything. So atmosphere is very, very, very keen, even in a home, to have the harmony and to allow the sweet dove of the Holy Spirit to come and to be present. We need to have the peace in the home. You know, we need to have that harmony, the beauty of holiness, you know, to come in and rest where the children can come and they can prosper. They don't have to tiptoe, afraid that they're going to get jumped on. Okay? Don't get me wrong. We need discipline, certainly. But they should know that they can come and their papa will receive them. Amen. That their mama won't bite off their head, right? But they love their children and they have that atmosphere, see, where they can grow. They're like tender plants, the Bible says. We need that atmosphere where they can just grow up and be in the Lord. Amen. Creating an atmosphere. Okay, just go moving right along here. I'm just moving right along. Amen. Okay. Okay, confess the word. That's the other thing. All right, we're talking about the greatest battle that ever placed. When Satan comes in with a lie, you confess the word opposite to what the devil is presenting. You seal it right there. You say, when Satan comes in, he says, maybe he might even quote the word, but just like Jesus, it is also written. Amen? He says, and maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. Brother Brandon says, I wouldn't confess it. See, don't let the devil know that. Say, I've got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. And when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Take him at his word. Then it's over on God then, not on you. As long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what it promised to do. Is that right? Now, have faith. Believe him with all your heart. Amen. Keep positive in your confession. Take his word over your circumstances. I'm closing. Love the brethren. Look for occasions to bless others. Continue to present your body a living sacrifice to God. Fight the good fight of faith. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take your position of priest seriously. And let your requests be known unto God. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads if we would. Heavenly Father, Thou art King, Lord over all. We are so thankful, O God, that in You is life. And we know, Lord, the Bible says that there is a way. And then there's a way of holiness. It says that a wayfaring man, though a fool, should not err therein. Father, we do believe that You make Your path clear. You know it's not broad. We know it is narrow. But, oh God, I believe that You put it in us to walk that narrow path. We know it's not by anything. It's by Your grace. It's not by our worth. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, You've made us worthy because You bought us by Your blood. Because You esteemed us thus. Father, we love You. We pray, Lord, that You just lift each one up here, Lord. This word wasn't meant to tear anybody down, Father, but it was meant to be encouraging. And Lord, I know there's a lot of things that I need to do better in my life. But I know, Lord, that You're still working on each one of us. You are the potter. We are the clay. So continue, Lord, to shape us, to mold us. Help us, O God, to reflect Your very image. Help us to speak the truth always, speaking the truth in love. Help us to be conformed to Your image, Father. Grant it, Lord. Father, we just want to commit everything in your hands now. We commit the service, commit each one to you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Do you have a song? No? Alright. Okay. Amen. Amen. Oh God. Aren't you glad that He's still working on us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How about when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown. And find it here.
Must die
not stand the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me unto God? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sure, I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and endure the pain, supported by thy word. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Amen. Crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Amen. Amen. I was just thinking of that vision of being there in the New Jerusalem, saints. I'm going to see you there. That's going to be a reality someday. And we're going to, the Lord is going to give us crowns, right? And we're just going to cast them right back at His feet. He is worthy. He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Does anybody, while we're all here, present together, anybody need prayer? Need us to pray with you regarding anything at all? To invite you? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Brother Ron, I wonder if you can come up here and close in a word of prayer.
Shall we bow our heads? Lord, we appreciate this time that you've spoken to us. Appreciate Brother Greg and his diligence to say the things that you put on his heart. Lord, we need these things. We need to be fortified against the wiles of the devil. We need to understand what's going on, that we aren't caught up in some kind of a little trap that he's set for us. Lord, help us each one to be aware of the fight and where the answer is. We can always rely upon your word to defeat the devil. Amen. Be with us, Lord, as we go our ways. Keep us safe on the highways. And when we come again, Lord, may you be here once again in our midst. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Sing, take the name of Jesus with you. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you.
Thank you. Brother Ron. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate you.